Good evening, Remnant.
And welcome to 7 times 70. I want to welcome you here live at the Radio Ranch this September 9th, 2021. That's 9-9-21 for you number people out there. And we do thank you for joining us here. Plenty going on, plenty to pray about. We'll have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. If you have a comment, we'll open that up tonight. Lots going on, all but a declaration of war on private business, on the government, the Biden administration saying, we will tell you what to do. Yeah. How about that? So I thought we'd talk a little bit about that tonight. There's more talking heads all across America tonight talking about that. So, but we'll start out with it. But I want to take you to the scriptures as well, because as we see these things happening, that is where else would we go except to the scriptures? And so that's where we will go. But let's start out with a word of prayer, encouraging you to be a praying person, a praying family, to remember not only to give thanks for the blessings that we have, but to lift up our present situation to our Heavenly Father. And so let's do that now. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, to share your word with your people, hopefully to encourage them, Lord, to love and good deeds, Lord, to have my batteries recharged from this time of fellowship with you and with your remnant. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the word that describes these perilous times that we are in, these fiery ordeals that Father, that we see all around us. And Lord, just when we think we're going to have a day off or things don't get any worse, Lord, our enemy takes that as a challenge and they come up with something else. Father, we know that is because they are at the end. Lord, their time is coming to an end, and we rejoice in that, Lord. We rejoice and thank you that is what is happening. Hallelujah. And so thank you for it. Open, Lord, the eyes of the remnant. Open their eyes to see, Lord, these things that are going on. Lord, thank you for your truth, the truth of your word. That, Lord, that is what the Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of truth, and we thank you for that, that we can rely on that we can count on that we can take that to the bank, Lord. And I thank you that we can do that. Thank you most of all, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for us, to allow us to be here, to allow us to be back in relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Guide and direct me, Lord, my thoughts, my words. Let all that I think, say, and do glorify you. And I pray all this to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And again, Remnant, the phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give a call, if you have a question or a comment, and be glad to do that. Hopefully you have your Volume 5 Dragon Slayer in hand. We got that mailed out, and had a great article from the Ramrod, some quotes from the Communion book that Pastor Peters did many years ago. I would say 10, 12, 14 years ago, maybe, something like that, maybe longer. We have it reprinted. We'd be glad to send it to you if you're not familiar with it. But there, we just had room for a couple of pages of an excerpt that we wanted to present in the From the Ramrod article regarding the information that Pastor put in that book. The book entitled Communion and Its Potential Blessings, curses and need. And it's full of scripture. It starts out there in Malachi 4:1 when it says, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and evildoers will be like chaff. And that day will be coming. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze." And then it goes on, Malachi 1-3. And so, anyway, if you're not familiar with it, it applies today. We see that day approaching like we see Friday approaching tomorrow. We do. We know that it is in the near future, and it comes. It does. And then the other article the main article in this newsletter, Volume 5, is History is His Story. An article that Pastor did, and we just updated it for today because it has to do with oaths and with us being able to, we do have the power and authority to hold our enemy to the oaths that they've made. And so, anyway, it is eye-opening. And so we hope you have it. If you don't, we'd be glad to send you one. I know sometimes the post office tears them up, and we end up sending out a new one. But we also included the preparatory and imprecatory prayer in this Volume 5 Dragon Slayer. And so we do encourage you, if you are a born-again, a true follower of Jesus Christ, that you pray the preparatory prayer, confessing sin, and praying the full armor of Ephesians 6 on before you pray the imprecatory prayer. Because when we pray imprecatory prayers, they get noticed. And the enemy notices, and he fights back. And so it's not something to be scared of. It's not something to be fearful of. But it is something to be aware of. And so we make you aware of that, but we do encourage you to pray. And then we also have a new book. Jason's got a new book for us in the Scriptures for America Library. It's called The Case Against Fluoride. It's written by PhDs. If you're not familiar, if you don't have the information on the dangers of fluoride, if you don't have that in your arsenal, if you haven't, maybe you just haven't been exposed to it. This book is an excellent book. It outlines the dangers, the insanity of fluoride being added to the public water supply. And it is just a great book. It really is along the lines of the COVID-19 book that we carry that just outlines, that book is called The Truth About COVID-19, that just puts down in plain and simple terms in black and white the truth behind it, the statistics. That COVID book has, I think, 40 or 50 pages of references in the back. And so it's not just somebody's thoughts or opinion that we see so much of in the land today. No, it is researched and truth that is put out. And so we hope, you know, Remnant, we do what we can to provide with you, to provide you the tools that you need, the armor that you need to withstand in this troubling time that we're in. You know, the scripture in 1 Peter 4:12, where we read, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you." And so we should not be surprised when these things happen. When O'Biden today announces a vaccine mandate for companies with more than 100 employees that affects 100 million Americans. Okay? That there's no discussion about it. It's just here was a quote from it, from the article. "The expansive rules mandate that all employers with more than 100 workers require their employees to be vaccinated for COVID or test for the virus weekly." affecting 80 to 100 million Americans. And then the roughly 17 million workers at health facilities that receive federal Medicare or Medicaid also will have to be fully vaccinated. That O'Biden is making OSHA. It says O'Biden will have OSHA make a rule requiring employees of companies to be tested. Companies will have to pay for the testing, but they can pass that cost on to the employees. It's called gather more straw and make more brick and do what we tell you to, what we command you to do. Here's an executive order. It says O'Biden is signing to require vaccination for employees of the executive branch and the contractors who do business with the federal government, with no option to test out. And that covers several million more. And so if you watched it today, hey, you're just not doing it fast enough for us, said the idiot in charge, or the, not the idiot in charge, but the one that's speaking. And so what are you going to do? Maybe you have one of those jobs. I know there's many of God's people that do, that have federal jobs, or maybe work in a healthcare facility. What healthcare facility doesn't receive Medicare or Medicaid funding? I think there's half a dozen in the country that don't. And so what are you to do? And so see, Remnant, the screws are tightening. Oh, it is. It is, as 1 Peter 4:12. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. It's test time, folks. It is like finals in college. You know, school just started back up. That's a whole nother, we'll talk about that a little bit, because the parents are outraged. Parents all over the country, you see it, it's burning up social media. You see very little of it in the regular news. But when you Google, when you look through the social media, the parents are outraged. They are pulling their children out of public school. When they can't do that, they're going to the school board meetings, and the rage that is coming out. And they're telling the school board, listen, you work for us. We elected you. And you will not do this, whether it's the critical race theory that has been tried to be pushed and promoted, or whether it's the Antifa hard left-wing liberal programs that are being pushed by these idiotic teachers, or whether it's the mask mandates. And I say praise the Lord that it has finally, this straw, whatever it was, this straw that broke the camel's back has finally hit to where many parents, I don't think enough, but many parents all across the nation have woken out of their slumber and are going to these meetings, are chasing their governor, as it was in California, or in, Connecticut last week, chasing the governor across the ground, yelling and screaming at him about these things. And so, I say good. People are waking up. Maybe it's not too late. I don't think it is. And so, 1 Peter 4:12, let's finish it. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. And do not be surprised at it as though some strange thing were happening to you. I wasn't even planning on using that verse tonight, but it is so applicable. It is the days we are living in. There are fiery ordeals. And you might not, maybe it's not hitting you right now, but you know, what if you or some of your family had been working over in Afghanistan and got stuck there with the murderous thugs that have taken over? And your government, it was just turning a blind eye, and you're just stranded there. Oh, you got $12,000 apiece to fly you and your family out, right? Or maybe your student was over there, one of your children as a student. And so there's fiery ordeals. There's fiery ordeals. Brothers, we've got remnant down in the South that still don't have power. that still don't have electricity. And you know what they're doing? Hey, they're cooking on their grill. They're cooking on their grill. And a lot of people that love their neighbor as themselves are down there helping out. But it's fiery ordeals. Oh, it's not the end of the world. They're getting through it, but it's tough times. It is. And now let's say you've worked, maybe you're an employer, and maybe you have 100 employees, and the government is just going to tell you what to do. And you have no recourse. It's not taxation, but it's certainly legislation without representation. Do you remember what the taxation without representation, what that cost a little over 200 years ago? Yeah, it caused war. Because the American people were pushed as far as they were going to be pushed. And I saw the headline tonight before I came here on the radio that Biden declares war on America. And folks, I say, praise the Lord, that finally somebody else is waking up to the war that has been declared on America by the ungodly, leftist, antichrist, death-loving enemy. Because it's been war for years. It's just finally reaching all four corners, you might say. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Because it's what happens when a people turn away from their God. It is. Well, there's many in this nation that are much more eloquent than me, much more detailed, that can give you much more details on what the enemy's doing, okay? But I want to take you to the Word, because we have strength in the Word, okay? And the truth of the Word is getting out. And many people, as they wake up, as they awaken from their slumber, they're turning to the Word. So what about those of us that have been awake? Well, we need encouraging also. We need to encourage one another. That's why the Word tells us to do that, to encourage one another to love and good deeds. And Remnant, I tell you, you that maybe have had your eyes open for a while, as more numbers are added to the remnant, as more people begin to awaken, they're going to need prayers. They're going to need explanations. They're going to be asking questions. And so we need to make sure that we are ready and able to answer, and able to help, and able to pray with, and to guide and direct the new members of the remnant that are awakened. You know, when you first, in my household, we get up about 5:45 in the morning, it's dark now. The days are getting a little bit shorter. We're leaving summer, heading into fall. We've got just next week is the 91st day. And we'll be leaving summer and headed into fall. And so the days are getting a little shorter. It's a little darker in the morning. We get up about 5:45. The radio goes off. And you know, first thing in the morning, it takes a little bit to wake up. You know, if it's not a big fire alarm or something going off, then it takes a little bit. You get up, you move around, move through the bathroom, and go get you a big glass of water. I encourage you to start your day, Remnant, with a big glass of water, okay? At room temperature, pour yourself a big glass of water, at least a 12 to 16, 18-ounce glass of water. And if you take 10 minutes, maybe during your morning prayers, to drink that water, start your day with a big glass of good water. It does wonders for the body. You've been fasting all night. Maybe you've had 4, 6, 8, maybe more hours of sleep. We need water. And most people in America are dehydrated. And so I encourage you, start your day with a good glass of water, and then find you a quiet place and pray. And pray. And so, see, that's a good way. So the first few minutes, it may be 5 minutes, it may be a half hour, it may be an hour of your day should be that way in waking up. And that's how it is with the remnant as they awaken. It takes a little bit. Takes a little time. And so I encourage you to be there and be ready. I want to read here in Paul's letter to Colossians. And so it's to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Okay? And verse 9 of chapter 1 says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." And I hope that encourages you. That is our prayer here. We ask for your prayers here at the ministry. Brother Jonathan and his family still sick. Might be COVID, I don't know. They're still sick. And we continue to pray for them. There's families all over Oklahoma and California and Florida and Tennessee and Georgia and Mississippi and all over that we're getting prayer requests from to pray. This sickness, there's sure something to it. There's something running around. But we have to remember that greater is he that is for us. And that is one of his truths. And that is part of that spirit of truth that we can hold on to. And we are to be strengthened in that. Like it said here, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. And so we are being strengthened. We are being, during these fiery ordeals, remnant, we are being perfected. We are being established. Okay? You know, I've read it before. I don't have the exact numbers, but the Navy SEALs, you know, the elite of the elite, in that before they go into the battlefield, they train. They will train specifically 6, sometimes 9 months for a specific type of enemy they may encounter, whether it's in a urban type of an urban type of warfare, or a cold weather, or a jungle type, or desert, that they'll have teams that will train for months and months and months to prepare. And see, remnant, that is what is happening right now. We are being trained. It is for our testing, for the increasing of our strength, for the increasing of our endurance is what is going on now. For some of us to learn patience. For some of us to put our money where our mouth is. Maybe we've been saying for a while such and such. Well, and then we get that presented right to us in our life, to where then we get to realize, well, we put our money where our mouth is, or is that what we truly are going to do? And that happens in the area of dealing with family, with health, okay? you know, Colossians 3, verse 12 says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, and that's who we speak to. We speak to the lost as well, that God is like that prodigal father, the father in the prodigal son story. He's standing, looking down the road, waiting for the son to return, waiting for the one who was lost to be found, waiting for the one who has gone out of their mind to come to their senses and return. That's how our Heavenly Father is. And so to those that are lost, that, you know, he is awaiting your return. All you have to do is turn around and return to him. And to those of us that have already returned, these are the holy and beloved. And the instructions here, Colossians 3, verse 12, those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. This is how we endure, folks. This is how we are strengthened, okay? It is. It is as simple as that. In Philippians, I hope that these short books here in the New Testament are as highlighted in your Bible as they are in mine. I hope that they bring you as much encouragement during these days, these trying times, as they do me. In Philippians 4, let's look at that. Philippians 4, Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. I want to read verse 13, but I got to start in 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. That's hard to do. It is hard. But we are to strive towards that. To be anxious for nothing, it says. But, and this is how we can be anxious for nothing. This is how we can be anxious, not be anxious for our health or for our well-being or for our children or for our friends and family or for our nation. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And see, then we can be at peace. Then we can not have that anxiety, that fear that allows the enemy to come in, that allows the enemy's thoughts to be placed in our head to where we think maybe they're our thoughts. I hope that you can recognize the difference in the thoughts of the enemy and the thoughts that come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the abundant life that he has and offers for us. And that's what it is. The thief comes, Jesus Christ said, the thief comes to do what, remnant? To do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. He was a murderer from the beginning. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if your thoughts, yea, if your actions, if they are of stealing, killing, and destroying, if your joy has been stolen, well, that's from the evil one. That's from the enemy. That's not part of the good plans that God has for you. That's not part of the abundant life, the life and life abundant that Jesus Christ talks about and that he offers and that he has for those that choose to follow him and trust in him and honor him and revere him and fear him. And so, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And I want you to see there that it doesn't say the peace that comes from God. The peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of the Holy Spirit that he sends us. that we read about in John. My daughter reminded me of it today. That she was reading in John and said, you know, it talks of the truth in there. That God will send that Jesus will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, of course, is what it is, but it's the Spirit of truth. And that is where the peace of God comes from, in knowing the truth of His Word. In knowing that, yes, the wages of sin is death, but that we are saved by grace, by what our Lord and Savior did for us. That while we were yet sinners, while we were enemies with God, that Jesus died for us. Yes, that we have to have that foundation down. But because He's done that, what do? We have that peace of God because we can come before His throne. We are His people. We are the apple of His eye. We are His treasure. Anyway, we read on, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And that is content. I wrote content down right there. It's contentment with what we have and where we are. And when we read on, Paul writes, he says, verse 11, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And why can He do all? Could He do all things? Because He had learned. He had learned to be content. He had learned to be anxious for nothing. That's why these stories are here for us, Remnant. Especially for today. That's why they're being brought out today. Is because we need to make sure that we are content. Doesn't mean we want to strive for more, but we are content in the place that we are. We certainly want to grow in the grace and knowledge and to do more and to do better for ourselves and for our family and for our Lord. But we have to make sure that's who it's for and it's not for us. I'm almost in Philippians to where I want to be. And it is that scripture. I can do all things through Christ, through Him who strengthens me. We have to remember that. We do. We have to remember that. Flip over to a little bit further, a little bit deeper in your Bible to the right, to 2 Thessalonians. It's just a couple pages over to the right. And, you know, we're told there, chapter 2, verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you. And so we are not to be deceived. And, you know, if we have been deceived, we learned from Pastor Peters. He preached it, the deception prayer. Well, Lord, forgive me if I've been deceived. It's as easy as that. Because, as Pastor pointed out, if you're deceived, how do you know? You don't know because you're deceived. And so I pray that, and I say this to those out there that think the sinner's prayer takes care of it. You just don't know. You've been deceived. We've all been deceived at one time or another. And so we should pray that. Lord, forgive me for being deceived. We're told, be not deceived. So forgive me, Lord. Forgive me if I have deceived others. Forgive me. See, that's where we come back to that truth, the truth of His Word. It may offend you. The truth does offend. Oh, the truth is very offensive to many in the land today because they hate the truth. But see, if we love the truth, if we love the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, well, even if we are offended by the truth, we have to get over it. And we do our best to do that. And we do our best to not be deceived. To not be deceived. And so when you read through here in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about, this chapter 2 is talking about the man of lawlessness, the enemy. And we see so much of that spirit about us today. And so verse 8 says, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of His mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of His coming. And understand, the breath of His mouth, that it can be the Word of God. And the truth of the Word of God does that very thing. It reveals the lies. Verse 10 says, and with all deception of wickedness, for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth as to be saved. You know, Peter tells us, according to this, now baptism doth save you. We're told to judge ourselves so that we won't be judged. We're told to save ourselves from this perverse generation. And we're told time and time again to do that, to save ourselves. How do we do that? We have a love. We develop. We are tested. And hopefully we endure. And as we are perfected and established, we come to that love of the truth. So as to be saved. Verse 11 says, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Don't we see that all around us today? And God's word is true. It is God that sent upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe the lie. That's what the word says. Why? And you may ask, well, why would God do that? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. Do you remember what Jesus Christ said about the truth? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And whom God sets free is free indeed. Whom God saves is saved. Whom God heals is healed. We read that. We know that. Verse 16 says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. And so our hearts can be comforted when there's loss. We prayed last night for two Mr. Phils. Mr. Phil here in Laramie that passed away. We've prayed for him before. He's been in a wheelchair for 30 years fighting MS. And he would give you his testimony and tell you that getting put in that wheelchair was the best thing that ever happened to him. Saved him from the pits of hell, he would tell you, because it brought him to Christ. That's what it took for Mr. Phil here in Laramie. But he always had a smile on his face, and he rejoiced and praised the Lord every day. And we prayed also for a Mr. Phil down in Colorado, whose wife of many years passed away, who was in hospice, that they would be comforted and they would be strengthened. And His word is truth. It tells us that that works. And that, and we can find comfort in that. We can be comforted. We can be strengthened in our hearts. How? In every good work and deed. See how important good works and deeds are? They strengthen our hearts. They strengthen, they help establish us, as well as these fiery ordeals and troubling times that are upon us. As we continue on, let's flip over another page, 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, and again, I hope that these are, I've got blue, I've got yellow, I've got green highlight. I tried to set it up to where each one meant something different, but it's got all mixed up. It's just highlighted. It's all good stuff. It really is. Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, he says, verse 5, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." And that is how we should all be, remnant. There's going to be a day, and it may be tomorrow, that we are going to be looked upon to give instruction as Paul was giving instruction to Timothy here. And the goal of our instruction is to be love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And then it goes on, verse 6, it explains it. "For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussions, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions." Well, I can tell you, remnant, I hope I don't fall into that. I am confident of this. We preach Christ crucified. And Christ arisen. And Christ at the right hand of God. And I claim not to be a teacher. I sure share with you as has been shared with me. And I read this here. We drop down to verse 12. I think it certainly fits right there. It says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me." And I know that there's many of you out there that have been strengthened. Okay? And when we are strengthened, when we have, as we read in 1 Peter, these fiery ordeals, we may say, "What in the world? Why? Why, God?" Well, it is so, as Paul wrote, so we can thank Christ Jesus as Paul did, our Lord, who has strengthened me. When he leads us through these things. And skipping back, going back to 2 Corinthians. Says, blessed be, chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions." See, that's the spirit of truth. That's the word of truth. Blessed be God who comforts us in, it doesn't say some of our afflictions. It doesn't say our afflictions that happened because we didn't do anything wrong. No, in all our afflictions. But let's read on. It says, "So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance." Do you rejoice in that, remnant? Do you ever think about that? That the sufferings of Christ are to be ours in abundance of well. He was cursed at, he was beaten, he was spit upon, he was crucified. And those sufferings are to be ours in abundance. But just as those are, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Jesus told us, pick up your cross and follow me. And we all have different crosses to bear. when you read on through it, you read Paul, how he tells of the afflictions that they had, but he's like, I don't want you to worry about those things. We did it. It all worked out. That was the attitude that he had. And that's the attitude that we are to have. Back to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Can we all say amen to that? Can we all say, Lord, I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me as you forgave Paul. It says, verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. And thank God that he's done that, that he has saved us, that he has saved us. First Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, says, and pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and on the sound doctrine which you have been following. See that? Constantly nourished. That doesn't mean that, well, you know, I read that Bible back in 1985. Yep, I got it figured out. That's not how you can be a good servant of Christ Jesus. It's good that you read it, but you have to be constantly nourished on the words of the faith. That means reading his word, listening to his word, fellowshipping with like-minded believers, so that we may be a good servant of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women, but on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself. You know, if you find yourself drinking too much, stop drinking. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. If you find yourself using foul language, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. If you find yourself being a glutton, maybe eating too much, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Reading on, it says, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness that we discipline ourselves for. Godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And it reads on, you read on, it says, for this we labor and strive. Yeah, this isn't sit on your couch and just say, this world ain't my home, I'm just passing through. No, it's good for this life as well as the life to come, that we are to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Take your thoughts captive. Focus on the things that we read about, the things that are good and proper and true and pure. Godliness, goodliness. Well, Remnant, these are some of the things that, especially to being strengthened, that's kind of been the theme of what I wanted to share with you tonight, that you would be strengthened. That is my prayer, that you would be strengthened. We need to be strengthened for the days that are coming. We are strengthened when we abide in him and he abides in us. Okay? When we dwell, as Psalms 91 says, in the shelter of the Most High. Because when we do that, we will abide in his shadow. And when God is for us, what can man do? What can come against us? Let O'Biden, let him say every employer. That'll be tomorrow, maybe next week. Every employer must make your employees get vaccinated. Everybody needs to do it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Put the mask mandates in all the schools, everywhere. Go ahead. You know, I was gonna talk about the mark of the beast tonight. Didn't get there. And maybe Sunday. Maybe we can talk about that Sunday. I don't know. Maybe next week. I think it's coming. I think it's coming. It's exciting. It is exciting times that we live in. If they were writing a third testament, you know, we've got the original testament and we've got the new testament. If they were writing a third testament, it would be about what is going on today. It would be. Well, Remnant again, 1 Peter 4:12. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, as though some strange thing were happening to you. It's happening for your testing. So you're having a fiery ordeal with your home, with your family? It's for your testing. Turn to God. Trust God. Are you having a fiery ordeal at work? Maybe this vaccination mess is a fiery ordeal at work. It's coming upon you for your testing. Don't be surprised at it. Don't be surprised at it. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And that's the attitude we have to have. The attitude we have to have. Well, I'm out of time. Thanks for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. No calls. That's okay. Want to encourage you to and invite you to come back Saturday morning. We will be here Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be here at, 10 a.m. Eastern. No, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Mountain, 6 o'clock Pacific on the West Coast. Coffee with the Wranglers. Okay? And we'll have the phone lines open. We encourage you to get yourself a cup of hot coffee and your Bible and join us for some good Christian fellowship with like-minded believers. And be, as we read, nourished, constantly nourished with the Word. We hope we can do that for you. God bless, and we'll talk to you Thursday.
When you feel like there's a sign there on your back, says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, for the devil even knows you're there. Well, I've been deep down in that darkness, I've been down to my last match, filled 100 different demons, breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying?